The impact of climate change on Montana wildlife is the focus of our Climate Week feature tonight. The small rabbit-like pika is absolutely adorable, with petite rounded ears and short legs holding up a plump little body with no tail. It has become a sort of poster child for climate change in the West. Evidence shows our warming temperatures are having a pronounced impact on animals like the pika, which live in high alpine environments. As Capitol reporter Dan Boyce tells us, those environments are shrinking, and the animals up there are having to adapt or die.
So I think we want to pull out right over here by the sign that says half mile to the U.S. Customs border.
The northeastern corner of Glacier National Park seems almost entirely deserted this time of year.
And we're just going to, we'll walk the road just a little tiny bit.
The sun slowly breaks over the plains, casting the serrated ridgelines ahead under a sort of frosted purple alpenglow.
From Canada.
At its core, this is a story about a line and what it represents. A line we see all the time when we look at high mountains.
You can really see a pretty defined tree line where it goes from trees to just basically rocks and shrubs and that sort of thing.
Jake Bermonti is hiking above that line today.
Originally, I was an IT guy, so my life started looking kind of like a Dilbert comic strip.
A couple years ago, he quit his job, sold his house, started a video production company in Kalispell, and he was looking for something to focus on.
I ended up coming across the fact that nobody had hiked all 734 miles of trail in Glacier Park.
Or at least not in one season.
Not very often you come across a project like that that actually seems quasi-achievable.
In 2011, Jake Bermonti did that. Between mid-May and mid-October, he hiked every mile of trail in Glacier. He's passionate about this place, and he knows it really well. He has the perfect idea of where we need to go.
Yeah, we're hoping to find some pikas on the other side of Gable Pass.
We start low, where copper and yellow leaves are still clinging to bushes spaced among the pines.
It's pretty much just a lodgepole forest.
He has this camera bag clipped to his waist that actually slides out of a special compartment in his backpack. He turns on his heels, lifting his long lens to snap pictures of birds, trying to call them in. We hike up and up for miles. The trees grow shorter and start to thin out.
And it's just starting to break into the subalpine, so now this is my favorite part.
We've come to Lee Ridge, a rocky plateau encircled by some of Glacier's tallest peaks, like we're in the jaws of some great old steel leg trap. This is the kind of place where high alpine mammals live, like wolverines, mountain goats, and pika. But Bermonti points across the valley to the far tree line and explains the problem. Warmer temperatures are making the conditions up here less harsh, and so the tree line is climbing up the mountains.
So it starts to take away some of that habitat from them where they have, you know, these exposed cliffs and that sort of thing. And so some of that stuff is gradually disappearing.
Good girl, Zoom.
University of Montana wildlife biology professor Joel Berger is playing with his dog Zuma on a very different trail, a wide, well-maintained footpath in the Rattlesnake, just north of Missoula. It's not meanwhile or anything, totally different day. Dr. Berger studies mammals, which live in harsh climates, like alpine zones.
Some of these high-elevation species that are dependent on cold, they may have some problems here in the Northern Rockies.
A big part of his work focuses on mountain goats in Glacier. Working with the National Park Service and a graduate student, he says he's too early in this research to say if goat populations are stable or going up or going down in Glacier. But he says as he and his colleagues watch other populations of alpine animals drop, there is evidence that climate change is a factor, although that information is still in its infancy.
Just as we can't say, oh, Sandy or Katrina were caused because of climate change per se, because you can't take one event. We can't just take one population, we'll say mountain goats, or one population of mountain goats, or one population of pikas, and conclude that climate has been a driver. But if we can mobilize greater amounts of evidence across spatial scales and time, we have a much stronger case to be made.
Still, he says pika and mountain goats used to be seen much farther south. Pika as far south as Las Vegas, native mountain goats in Utah. Berger says climate change is far from the only thing affecting these animals. He says human encroachment and lack of conservation is often far easier to peg as a reason for population decline. But if, as evidence strongly suggests, temperatures keep rising in Montana, as that happens, Berger says these high alpine mammals will be some of the first to feel the pinch. Wolverines use mountain snowpack to dig dens and raise their young. Mountain goats use the open cliffs as a way to escape predators. Pika are very sensitive to heat. The National Park Service says they can die if exposed to temperatures above 78 degrees in just a few hours if they don't find shelter.
Species at the edge tend to blip off.
They're not something that can go ahead and say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and fly over, you know, I'm going to fly further north. I mean, pikas, at least in Montana, you know, that's that, you know, it's kind of like bears in California, right? You know, I mean, there are no grizzly bears in California anymore.
Jake Bramante and I have gotten into some snow. We're trudging through unexpected drifts on our way to Gable Pass, following a lone set of wolf tracks. The wolf didn't seem to have trouble staying on top of the snow. Jake is taking us here because when he did this hike for his project, he found this enormous pika village.
I call them eepers because that's the kind of sound that they make. It feel sounds like a little squeeze toy or something like that.
Like, what's it sound like?
Do you want me to make the noise?
Absolutely.
All right. Eee! That's basically what they sound like. And hopefully we can actually hear one for real. And then we can kind of A-B it and see which one is like, more accurate.
Can we hear your version again?
No, we're good.
He actually is pretty close.
Oxen gather their food and just cheep at you, which is pretty fun.
This is sound from his video blog from his first trip to the pika village. Bramante says he really loves pikas. They're one of his favorite animals.
And so anytime I get to see him, it's always a special thing. And they're just cute. And I just love how hardy they are.
Hardy in the right climate, anyway. He thinks it would be a tragedy to lose them.
It would really suck to know, like, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to hike out here and see pikas, and now I don't. And so that sucks for, you know, my kids or whatever.
Climate change might not actually be all bad for these species. UM wildlife biologist Joel Berger says in the short term, receding glaciers may actually provide more of the types of food preferred by animals like mountain goats. Pika may find ways to change their habits, find places to hide in the heat of the day, forage more at night or early morning.
Well, it's not all doom and gloom. The fact that pikas show some behavioral flexibility is a good thing. A second possible reason for optimism, and I'm not very optimistic because the loss of all the high elevation water regimes that we see here, of course it's a problem. It's a problem not just for animals, but for people who rely on water pack. But if you go to the north end of a species range, such as Alaska for mountain goats, what we see is as glacial retreat occurs there also, habitats are opening. And so at this end, southern end of goat distribution in the U.S. in and around the northern Rockies, it may not be so good for goats. At the north end, where we're opening up habitats, could actually be better. It's just that most of the people who enjoy seeing wildlife, where our higher population densities are, aren't going to see it as much as perhaps people in these remote landscapes.
We reach the Pika Village near Gable Pass, a field of large limestone boulders. At first, nothing. No eeps. No pika. The snow's pretty deep. Jake Bramante thinks they're probably hiding out. But then...
Well, yeah, I was kind of sitting up on a rock, and you were glancing over, and lo and behold, we had a little pika scurry out.
The little gray critter bounded between rocks with ease, and then disappeared. We gathered our things and headed back down the trail. Back down below the tree line. I'm Dan Boyce, reporting in Glacier National Park.